This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the USEA's Volunteer Incentive Program. The current leader, Taylor Stotler from San Diego, California, will be telling us about her involvement in the sport. Nick Hines, who created the online platform for the leaderboard, will explain how that works. And we'll begin with Holly Covey, who's a member of the Volunteer Incentive Program Committee. But first, with the 2017 Rolex Kentucky three-day event getting underway this week, we would like to mention the 10 USEA Young Event Horse graduates who are gearing up to compete at Rolex. The Young Event Horse Program, which is designed to identify the up-and-coming superstars of the sport, offers classes for 4- and 5-year-olds where judges evaluate their suitability for the highest levels of eventing. And now these alumni will be showcased at the most prestigious event in North America. And if you're attending the Rolex Kentucky three-day event this week, be sure to stop by the booth and meet the staff at US Eventing. And of course, take the opportunity to shop. There'll be lots of merchandise on offer in the booth. Holly Covey is a member of the USEA's Volunteer Incentive Program Committee, and she joins me now from her home in Delaware. Holly, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, this is something that you've been involved with. You've been driving this now for quite a while. Tell us how it got started.
I don't think it's a product of one person, but I think that those of us who looked at the volunteerism of the USEA and thought we ought to do something about it were all pretty much driven by our membership and interaction with a terrific person who was very heavily involved in volunteerism, and that was Seema Sanad. And she died in 2015, and she left quite a legacy for us in this sport. And one of the things that she was quite good at doing is getting people to look around them and see what they could do. And but she was kind of the driving force for the volunteerism initiative. And I do have to thank Diane Pitts, the former USEA president, because I emailed her and asked her if we could get some volunteerism things on the agenda at the 2015 USEA convention in Washington, D.C. And she did. And she wedged us in, and Bonnie Kibbe and I gave a presentation on some of the tenets of things that we thought that Seema wanted us to do to encourage volunteerism. And I think everything sort of came, wellspring of the attention to volunteerism sort of came from that particular presentation.
And tell us the timeline on this then, Holly. Who was on the committee? Who else was on the committee? And how it actually came about and how you decided the parameters for this?
Well, Dr. Bonnie Kibbe, Bonnie was also a good friend of Seema's, and several others. We discussed what Seema wanted and how she thought things should work. One of Seema's pet peeves was she was very active in Florida in the wintertime and then in Area 2, more northward, in the summertime. But she would often get emails from the Florida organizers in the winter or in the summer and when she couldn't volunteer. And she always felt bad replying to them and saying, geez, I'm not in Florida in July or August. I can't really help you. So she always moaned about the fact that technology was moving forward, but yet we didn't have any kind of a sign-up system for volunteers that would enable the organizers to know that some people just aren't in the area at the time that they need them. So that's where this idea of having a sign-up system came from. It was really from Seema and her reluctance in having to say no. So that she sort of thought it up, and of course she was brilliant, as you know, and in the medical field as well, and highly educated, as well as being a great competitor and official and volunteer. So that was sort of her idea. Then Bonnie and I put together a presentation at the request of Carol Kozlowski and Diane Pitts and brought it forward at the convention in December. And then there were several, the room was packed, including some wonderful people like Gretchen Butts and Carolyn McIntosh, who listened and carried the ball forward. They did together in Area 2. They're the ones that found Nick Hines and got, you know, an inventor and a programmer. Wow, you know, what a great combination. Aren't we lucky to have found him? And he's the one that started to develop the program and got it together, got eventingvolunteers.com going with Carolyn and Gretchen and a few other people from Area 2. And they rolled it out last year and tried it with a few of big events to see how it would work, and it worked great. And so then they came to the USDA and said, you know, those volunteer people, let's make a committee of them and let's let them help us going forward, you know, in promoting the whole volunteerism aspect. So we sort of fell into it that way. Bonnie Kibbe is on the committee with me, as well as Gina Sindrick, who is very experienced in the eventingvolunteer.com app and application, Nicholas Heinz. We also have Kathy Kearns from Area 4, I believe, or Area 5. And we also have Irene Du from Texas, and Gammon Knuckles from Virginia. And Carol Kozlowski was on our committee, but as she is USDA president now, she can only be in an advisory role at the moment. So I believe that's most of our committee members at the moment.
We know that the sport relies entirely on volunteers, and whilst this is an incentive program, is it something that you're finding as attracting new volunteers, Holly, since we've had this up and running?
I think there's a curve here where we are trying to bring in as many as possible. We have a lot of old-time volunteers that we don't want to lose, and we're encouraging them to sign up for the program, as well as developing new volunteers. I jump judged just yesterday at Plantation Field with a nice, delightful young lady who is only 15 years old. And they're the kinds that we need to get going and get judging, because we hope that later on they'll become the leaders of our sport and keep our sport going. So I'm hopeful that the technology evolves so that the young people are attracted to it, do find it easy to use, can operate with it off of their cell phones. And I think that's a good thing. And I don't have any stats in front of me right now about what we're attracting as far as new people, but I certainly hope that we will be able to get some stats soon.
And with this, of course, people can watch how they are logging the hours once they've registered. And this is something that applies both to the regions, to the areas, and also nationally. Is this something that you can see developing to into other ways then, now once it's been so established now? Can you see it actually going in doing other things to encourage volunteers, not only just to get onto this program, but to stay and encourage others?
I think so. I think we have a national leaderboard, and we are also asking areas, individually, areas can now have a tracking system to track volunteer hours and award their volunteers, and individual events can also develop a tracking system, and as Plantation has done, so many hours equals so many points, and points will make you eligible for all sorts of prizes, as well as drawings for trips to Rolex and things like that. I know that in California, I think it's Margie Davis has developed it, has started to use it. She's encouraging all the other organizers in California area to use it, and they hope to have area awards available for their top volunteers as well. And that makes it nice. As Irene explained to us in Texas, there's not as many events, obviously, in some parts of the country as there are on the East Coast. So it's easy on the East Coast to jump judge five or six times in a season, but it might take an entire year for somebody to have those sorts of hours in some of our smaller areas. So in order to be fair, we're trying to encourage areas to develop their own hour system. And that way, it's people who only are able to jump judge because they only have five events a year, and they jump judge at every one in their area, that would be considered a good amount, and they might get a prize at the end of the year or be up for an award for their volunteerism. And in Area 2, where we have like 55 events, you know, ours are going to be proportionally higher. So that's why we're encouraging areas to take a look and see if they can provide some awards. Area 2 did last year. They gave some embroidered vests and lovely embroidered hats and vests to their top volunteers, which were really well received.
And where do you see this going in the long term, Holly? Would you like it to evolve into other things?
Eventually, we'd like to, and we've spoken about the U.S. to the USEA about this, eventually we'd like to be able to see your volunteer hours right on your USEA membership dashboard when you log in to see how you what your results look like with your different horses. You may also be able to see what volunteer hours you have lifetime. We may have lifetime achievement awards that may develop into years of service. Longtime volunteers may be up for special recognition. We may be able to, in the future, say, go compete on the grounds of a recognized horse trial, and we may see a volunteer with a yellow armband or red armband, and that may indicate to us that that's a long time, 10-year or more volunteer who knows a lot about the sport. And then if we have a question or if we have a need, we can approach that volunteer and say, you have a yellow armband. Obviously, you've been here 10 years. Can you help me? I need something. And that way, we'll be able to pass on education and the sport's legacy to other volunteers and competitors.
That's a wonderful idea, Holly. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about this program and how to get involved?
Well, I think it's important that everybody sign up, even if your favorite event doesn't have the eventingvolunteers.com application going quite yet. It's important for everyone to sign up. And when it does come into use, you'll be able to use it. If you have any questions, you can always send an email to Nick or to myself, and I'll pass it on to Nick so that we get some education about the program so that everybody is comfortable using it. And be looking for some of the things that we will be providing in the future. We are going to put some content on the USCA website specifically related to volunteerism. We will have a checklist for volunteers, for instance. We'll have some definitions, some education. We have some great videos coming that show you how to do certain jobs. Try to help people understand what the jobs are about so that it makes it easy for them to stick their hand up and say, sure, I'll do cross-country steward today. So even if you may not feel as though you're ready, if you watch a video, if you've seen what other people do, it might make it easier and more comfortable for you to give it a try.
And, of course, thank you to you for all your volunteering, Holly, and for being involved with this committee. And thank you for taking the time to come on the program and telling us about it.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris.
Nick Hines joins me now, who actually created the website for the Event Volunteers Leaderboard. Nick, welcome to the program. Give us a little introduction to that. It's all at eventvolunteers.com. We'll have a link in our show notes. And I just want to know how it came about and how it works.
Well, the initial idea of the entire program came from, you know, the late Seema Nomad. I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right. But it was then talked about and launched, and the USEA launched a volunteer committee in 2013. I believe. And then the program was launched as a pilot program for Area 2, which was initially pushed by three events, Maryland Horse Trials, Baradeca, and Seneca Horse Trials. And I was contacted by Carolyn McIntosh of Maryland Horse Trials to if I would be interested in starting this kind of software or program, and I was, and that's how we got started.
How does it work? Does it rely on you to post the leaderboard? How do people register for it?
The way to think about it is it's essentially like a sign-up genius, but optimized for eventing. So the number one idea was actually to simplify and the signing up process for volunteers and reduce the burden on coordinators and organizers of managing hundreds of volunteers using, you know, paper or Excel sheets or, you know, any other individual methods that are currently being used. And so volunteers or organizers post the event on the website, add the positions needed, volunteer positions needed, how many spots they need, and then volunteers can go on there, sign up for what they need, or what they'd like to volunteer for. And on the day of the event, volunteers check in and check out, and that so that it records the volunteer time.
I
and
see.
And then the leaderboard is created automatically from all these, you know, check-ins and check-outs, and then awards can then be given to the top volunteers by, you know, we have a USCA leaderboard, but then there's also leaderboards for each of the areas. And then events, if they have many events at their own venue, they can create their own private leaderboards to keep track of the hours of just volunteers at their event.
Who oversees then the number of hours that the volunteers log then? Is that the organizer? Do they enter the number of hours, or does the volunteer enter the number of hours and then someone validates it and then it goes on to the leaderboard?
There's multiple ways. Volunteers can themselves check in and check out. Organizers, volunteer coordinators can also manually check in, check out volunteers. And after the event, yes, it is the responsibility of the organizer or volunteer coordinator to, you know, review the hours log to make sure that they are correct. It can all be edited, you know, to be in case there's a mistake or an error. So.
Right. So right now you have, 179 that are registered on there, 145 of those actually have their hours logged on.
Yes, so there are many more accounts for volunteer accounts. We have probably close to 2,000 volunteer accounts right now, but only 150, as you said, have logged hours so far. As this is a new system, the hour logging is slow to come online, as you know, organizers get used to having to record hours and so on. So that's one problem we need to overcome, is to have better logging of the hours. And it's free to use for any recognized event in the US, because the USCA with the sponsorship of the Sunsprite Warm Bloods is offering this for free for recognized events in the US.
Wonderful. So anyone can go on there and find out more about it at theventvolunteers.com and register there. And as you said, it applies both to the recognized events nationally, Nick, but also regionally, well, in the areas as well.
Yes, or there's area leaderboards. So, you know, if like an event like Maryland Horse Trials is a national event, but is also an Area 2 event. And then the hours logged by volunteers at the Maryland Horse Trials will also end up on the Area 2 leaderboard, because each area has also, or maybe not each area, but many areas give volunteer awards at the end of the year, so they can use these leaderboards as for guidance, or, you know, to use them for awards.
So there are two opportunities there to win an award, both nationally and via your area too. It's a wonderful innovation, Nick. And you established this when exactly? How long has it been online now?
Probably, it was launched about this time last year, or maybe in March last year, something like that. 2016 was just a pilot program with three events, the Maryland Horse Trials and Wadega and Seneca and Area 2. And this year, it's a first year that it's nationwide, or that any event in the U.S. can sign up for, but not all events are on there right now.
Right, they're slowly getting to find out about this, and hopefully they will join this program. Nick, it's a great incentive for volunteers, which the sport relies on, and we want to thank you very much for establishing this online and taking the time to come on the program and tell us about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
And my final guest is Taylor Stotley from Area 8, who is currently on the top of the leaderboard of the volunteers, and she joins me now from her home in San Diego, California. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's wonderful to be here.
And congratulations at being at the top of the leaderboard right now. You are the current leader. tell us about your situation, what you do for a living, and your involvement in the sport over the years.
Well, currently I'm a social worker, so I work in mental health out of San Diego. I work for the military and try and do suicide prevention and general counseling for them. I ended up out in I used to be in Area 2 in North Carolina, actually, and all through, I guess, childhood, I grew up riding and got into eventing probably around high school time frame. And I competed through Area 2, competed out of, you know, the Carolina Horse Park, Virginia Horse Center, and then went down into Georgia at some points, went to River Glen in Tennessee, and then college happened, and I competed through training at that point. I was training with Caroline, now she's Caroline Atherholt McClung, and ended up taking a break, deciding to focus on school, start learning how to be an adult, and ended up going through grad school, had my horse still, was kind of letting him be a pasture pup and just enjoy him and have him enjoy his life. And once I got married and decided to come out to San Diego because of my husband's profession, I ended up bringing him out here and getting hooked up with Jennifer Hawthorne, is an event trainer out here. And I'm at a station or based out of her facility that she helps coordinate and train out of in Imperial Beach, California. And she recommended that I start volunteering again and getting back into the eventing scene since it's been since, I believe, 2011 was the last time I competed. So I looked up Galway Downs and I looked up Copper Meadows, got hooked up with Margie Davis. She's the event volunteer coordinator out of Copper Meadows. And Karen DeWalt is out of Galway Downs. And ended up starting to volunteer there, get back in the sport. I ended up recruiting my husband and a couple of his friends and coworkers to go and volunteer and do cross-country jump judging. And they had never even set foot on an event venue. So it was a very fun experience with that, just trying to recruit some volunteers for her and get the program really go, or the event really going with enough people to jump judge. So that's really what it came down to, is I was trying to create a community out in this area.
And what do you most enjoy about it volunteering then? What roles do you like to play as a volunteer? You said jump judging, but tell us all the other things that you've done.
So I've jump judged. I enjoy doing dressage scribing as well. I think that personally, that's one of my weak points. So it's great to be able to see from a different perspective, what the judges are looking for, what they're really searching for and really give high marks to. So it was something that I wanted to be able to pick the judges' brains a little bit and take advantage of that time. But I realized that I very much enjoy dressage scribing. Additionally, I have done the warm-up, trying to organize the warm-up, yelling out counts and trying to get the cross-country riders on time and organized, you know, so-and-so has a horse also running in preliminary at the same time they're supposed to be competing, you know, jumping cross country. So how do we rearrange people? So that was one of those positions where they didn't have enough volunteers at the time. So they just went up, Karen DeWalt went up to me and she's like, well, have you ever ran a warm up? I was like, no, but I'm game, you know, I'll try. And I ended up enjoying it a whole lot. I really, all three positions that I've done, you know, cross-country jump judging, scribing, and also helping run the warm-up, they each have their own pieces that are really, really fun. And I really just enjoyed all three of them. I am planning on continuing to do all three of them, hopefully, if I can get in with some more of the Galway Downs and Copper Meadows. But, you know, the thrills of cross country, you get to see them galloping and hear the attaboys or attagirls and the pats and everything, get them to just like from every level, you get to see the ups and the downs, but also just seeing the camaraderie of horse and rider. And with dressage, it's really been beneficial to me since I've been riding my horse again and trying to get him back up to competing, really knowing where is the foundation, where do I need to start, and how can I improve going forward. And then with the warm-up, it's just, again, building a community, trying to find the people of the the location that I'm at, and trying to learn the names and learn the people and, you know, connect names to faces as well, because I've never worked with any of the West Coast eventers prior to this.
Now, you mentioned those two events, Galway Downs and Copper Meadows. How far are they from you? How long would you actually have to travel to get to those events at the moment, Taylor?
Commuting from my house, I want to say Galway Downs is probably about 50 minutes. And Copper Meadows is probably, I believe it's about 40, 45. So right within an hour or so. Heading up to Temecula, where Galway Downs is, can be a little tricky. But other than that, it could probably extend up to an hour to get there, but which is not fun, four in the morning trying to get up there in time. But it's been a good time. It's a good drive because it's right through the mountains and everything. So you get a nice view, even though it is very, very early. But you get to see the sunrise all over the mountains.
Yeah, it is beautiful down there for sure, especially that time of the morning. Now, that involves a very long day for you then. Typically, how many hours would you put into a day of volunteering at an event, Taylor?
I try to make it worth it, so I end up volunteering for the whole day. It just kind of depends. Depends on what the needs of the event are. I believe it extended from like 7 in the morning to probably 4 or 5 in the afternoon. It just kind of depended on the day and what they needed. But that was kind of the general gist of it, would be about 7:30 to maybe 4-ish o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, because of your location, obviously you have to go north for your events. How far do you think you would be able to travel to reach another event? Or do you just see that your volunteering will have to be based there simply for geographic reasons?
Geographic reasons, I'm probably going to be primarily out of Copper Meadows and Galway, just because it is a very, I think the next closest might be about 6 hours away. I'm not very familiar with California just from being new to the area, but I believe there's, Twin Rivers and Fresno, I believe, has one, and then Bunny Sexton has a Shepherd Ranch up north as well. So, but all of those are relatively far away. I think they're in excess of 6 hours from me.
And already you've clocked up 51 hours, or maybe more, since that was updated on the leaderboard. So how many days has that represented for you so far?
That's represented 6 days.
Okay, so this is something that you can see yourself doing ongoing then, as well as being back in the sport, maybe competing as well?
Absolutely. I've already decided to volunteer at the next Copper Meadows and the next Galway Downs. I'm hoping that my horse is getting older. He's nearing 20 at this point, so really just trying to keep him nice and slow and steady, which he doesn't agree with whatsoever, but hoping that we can maybe try and compete later this year, maybe at the last Copper Meadows in September or the last Galway Downs in November. Just trying to get him back to where he was fitness-wise, take it slow, take it steady, make sure nothing breaks down in the process.
So what would you say to anyone who's listening to this who's thinking about volunteering and what you enjoy about that camaraderie? And I'm also interested, Taylor, if you're finding that more young people are coming into this. Are you recruiting young people? Give us a sense of what that looks like now when you're volunteering.
So whenever I'm volunteering, at least the initial portion, I talked with Margie Davis again out of Copper Meadows, and she is fantastic about recruiting people. I don't know if you're familiar with her at all, but her Facebook posts and social media posts to try and get people excited and volunteering for the events is just phenomenal. I cannot credit her enough with that. But it sucked me in because I was like, oh, I have to find some people. And I messaged her. I was like, well, I have people, but they are not horse people. They've never been to an event. They may have only done a pony ride when they were 6 years old, but I have people who are interested. And she said, absolutely, we can train them. We'll be fine. So I ended up actually getting people from my husband's work in the Marine Corps to come over. So they're adults and their spouses came with, and I have some more people who are interested as well, but it's primarily people that are in their mid-20s or so. Whenever I was volunteering, but there were people from all age ranges. There were people who were in their teens. There were people who were probably decades older than I am, it was just an entire range. And the great thing about eventing for me is the respect that is always given to people of every age, to people of every experience, because it really is just a community of, it's a giant family. It's one of those things that I missed whenever I wasn't competing because I didn't feel like I had that sense of community. And then coming out to California was really difficult making a community. So I decided, you know what, these are the people I knew and loved, and we'll see if hopefully it's the same on the West Coast as it is on the East Coast. And it absolutely was. It's those people that you just connect with, and then I see them at the next event and they wave, and we may not remember each other's names, but we recognize each other's faces. And it's been phenomenal being able to make connections and have a community and really feel like there's a place. Because then you get kind of caught up in Southern California, everybody's driving around and you don't really know, you know, where you fit. And it's hard to make connections with people, but eventing always has that community and that sense of we're happy that you're here.
And what would you say to people that are from the outside of the sport, like you're recruiting people outside of the sport who don't know anything about it? Because the young people often can lack confidence. They think, well, I don't know about the sport. I don't know how to do it. I don't know any of the rules. What would you say to them to encourage them to join you or join others around the country and have a go?
I think, first of all, it's just a blast. It's one of those things that you can find the hit, you can find where you fit in every single scenario. So you can either be stationed at a jump and somebody can be stationed with you so that they can train you what you're looking for. I know that at the time, whenever my husband and his friends were jump judging, they had my text, you know, they were texting me, oh, what if the horse knocks the jump? Like, is that a penalty? No, it's cross country. You're good. And just making sure that we had open communication. Obviously, the TD and I think Malcolm is our announcer who was saying, giving the rules and how to work their radios and things like that. But from there, we had that training. But then if they were a little confused, we had somebody who could access or who they could access. So they could either radio in and ask a question, or they could text me or call me, and we really just worked together. And after a while, my husband's friend texted me. He's like, when does the next division start? I feel like this is fantastic. I'm so excited. And it's just, that's really what it is learning the history about, you know, eventing comes from a military background. So I was able to connect with the military members on that. And it's also an Olympic sport, and it's something that you can meet an Olympian at any event. It's one of those very cool kinds of events where that doesn't happen at normal sporting events. That's something that's very unique to our sport, I feel. And so you can come at it from a sports perspective or a military perspective or a horse perspective, or just let's get out and do something new. So I think it's a supportive community. It's a supportive group of people, and you can find where it fits with your personality in any fashion. So if you're unsure, there's somebody to train you. If you're still unsure, you have full access to other people at all times. You have a radio, you have the ability to say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing here. And there's someone who is not going to be condescending. They're going to be open and welcoming and just very, very willing to help you out because they like that you're there. They love that you're there.
Well, that's a wonderful message for any future volunteers, Taylor, and you are an inspiration, and long may you continue your involvement in the sport. And thank you very much indeed for all that you're doing, and thank you for taking the time to come on the program. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you and all the event organizers. I mean, without that, I wouldn't have this opportunity.
And our thanks again to these volunteers, our guests this week. You can find out more about the program by going to the website at useventing.com or to the leaderboard, where there's also a list of events where you can register. That's at eventingvolunteers.com. If you're new to this podcast, you can find it on iTunes, where you can download it to any podcast app, so you can listen to the show while you're in the barn or driving to an event. To find out when the latest episode is live, visit the website at useventing.com or follow us on social media at US Eventing. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are, and enjoy your eventing.